In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I can count on one hand the number of times I've chosen to forego the texts that are appointed for a Sunday in the church year. With the current state of affairs being what they are, it seems as good a time as any to direct our focus on the words and promises of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially as they pertain to our physical well-being. And so our text for today will be from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. And it reads thusly. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So far, our text. There's a lot of anxiety right now about the circumstances surrounding the spread of the coronavirus or COVID-19 or the Wuhan plague, whatever you want to call it. Our schools are shut down, travel restrictions are being put into place, and grocery stores, of all things, are running out of toilet paper. Since the markets have seen better days, I'm guessing that not many of you have looked with such zeal at your retirement accounts. In fact, I would recommend you not look at them right now. You might be like me. You know someone who has actually contracted the virus. Beth, actually, your sister's pastor in Seattle. I know Pastor Mankin. Maybe you're worried about your loved ones who are more vulnerable. There is much to be anxious about in these days. But I want to ask you a question that Jesus asks you in the gospel. Which of you can add a single hour to the span of his life by being anxious? Rhetorical question, of course. Jesus has some things for us to consider today. The birds don't plant crops or harvest them, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you of much more value than they? Of course you are. Jesus tells us that two sparrows are sold for a penny, and yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from our heavenly Father. The hairs on your head, by contrast, are numbered. In fact, your heavenly Father values you at a much higher price, the price of his Son. For he sent his Son Jesus to take on your flesh, not the flesh of birds, and to pour from his sacred veins the blood to redeem you from death. And then he turns and gives you today, of all days, the same body that was broken on the cross, that same blood that poured from his wounded hands and feet and side. And this is the living bread from heaven, far greater than any manna eaten by our fathers in the wilderness. They ate that and they died. But we in the church eat this living bread, and it is the medicine of immortality. how wonderfully God has provided for you. Likewise, consider the lilies of the field. They don't toil or spin, and yet even Solomon, who is probably the richest man in all of the Bible, in all his glory, is not arrayed as one of these. The temporary grass, which withers and fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it, is cared for by God's loving hand in such wonderful splendor. And yet, how much more has God clothed you with the robe of Christ's righteousness? Isaiah says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels." Later on, Zechariah writes, "And the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And to him he said, 'Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments.' And I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by." This is, of course, referring to what God has done for you in the waters of your baptism. For St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, a little later than our epistle for this morning, he says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." And again, he says in Galatians chapter 3, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How gloriously your God has clothed you. People loved by God, our Lord Jesus urges us this morning to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And he says that everything good will be given to us. Even as the world has told us to stay home and practice social distancing, he calls you to gather close to him. You have come to the right place. You have come to where the Lord Jesus promises to bring his kingdom and his righteousness and give it directly to you. And if you have these things, what more could you possibly need? With him, there is no lack. As the psalmist declares, "O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack." With Jesus, you lack no good thing. You are his, and everything that he has belongs to you. And he knows what you need, even before you ask. How? Well, he made you. He wrote the instruction manual, as it were. As the psalmist declares, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." How else does he know it? Well, he sent his son into flesh just like yours. The author of Hebrews writes, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The writer of Hebrews there is telling us that because Jesus took on our flesh and suffered the things that we face in this life, he knows exactly what you're going through. And that gives us the right to be bold in approaching him for grace in time of need. How else does he know it? Well, he has sent his Holy Spirit to dwell with you and to carry your prayers to the heavenly throne. St. Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit knows what we need because he dwells within us by virtue of our baptism. And he carries our prayers and completes them, perfects them to our Heavenly Father. These promises are the bread by which we live, the word that comes from the mouth of our God. And finally, in addition to these great promises, Jesus also gives us some very practical advice today to consider. I contend that all theology is practical, by the way. He says this, though, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What good is there to worry about what will happen tomorrow, or in a week, or in a year? Isn't there enough to worry about just for today? It is with this in mind that we consider how God would have us live in uncertain times, one day at a time. Have you ever pondered why Jesus teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? By putting this prayer on our lips, our Lord Jesus is reminding us that everything we have, whether it's for our body or for our soul, comes from his hand alone. We live from him every single day. Or as St. Paul says, "In him we live and move and have our being." Each breath that we take is because he has granted it to us. And even when we run out of those, has he not promised to resurrect us to eternal life? It is the Lord, therefore, who teaches us that each of our days are written in his book, and nothing happens to us apart from his loving care. This is why we so joyfully confess in the Creed that Jesus is ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. There, from that position on high, he rules everything in heaven and on earth for your good. Even the evil that you have faced in this life and the evil that you will inevitably face, he promises to turn those evils into good for you. For in him all things are held together. As St. Paul says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." And so, in this time, or any other time of anxiety, in any circumstance where you might be anxious about the future, God calls you to be content with your circumstances. He will care for you, and he will not forsake you. And so pray daily for that daily bread, everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body. For you are in his hand, and the evils of today and tomorrow are under his wounded feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.